At LinkHumans, we've spoken to countless HR leaders from around the world, all trying to measure employer brand. The Employer Brand Index is used by GE and Unilever on a quarterly basis to uncover and measure their reputation as an employer, with a final score they can track over time to see how things are changing. We look at what candidates, employees, and alumni say about your organization in an employment context. If you're looking to research your employer reputation, or if you're developing an EVP, this would be the perfect time to create your Employer Brand Index baseline. You'll get a full report of insights and recommendations that you can use to improve your employer brand over time. Head over to employerbrandindex.co and start measuring.
Hey, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends at LinkHumans, where we do data-driven employer branding. Yep, that's the way to do it in 2020. Now, we're heading down under today. We're going to talk to a telecommunications company, which is really well known if you happen to live in Australia. And we're going to focus in on the internal perspective on employer branding. So let's start the show. Hello, Alana. How's it going?
Good, thank you, Jorgen. How are you?
I am fantastic. So please let us know who you are, what you do, and what brings you on the podcast today.
So I'm a senior external and internal communications specialist, and I currently work in employer branding as an employer brand consultant. I've been in the role for a few months now. Before that, I was working in the internal communications team at my organization. So I've come into it with a real internal lens. Before that, I was working in external comms, so in PR and strategic communications. So got a bit of a different background here. And then I guess on more of a personal note, I'm Australian. I call Sydney home, but I've also lived in Adelaide, Brisbane, and the sunny Gold Coast.
Nice. Okay. So you're a real communications professional. So you mentioned your organization, you didn't see the name, and it's Optus. Can you let us know what Optus is for any non-Australian listeners?
Of course. So Optus is one of Australia's largest telecommunications companies. So we provide mobile, telephony, internet, satellite, entertainment, and even business network services to more than 10 million customers every day. We're not just a telco though, so we're also pushing the boundaries in the content space, providing exclusive premium entertainment and sports content across a range of different platforms. And I think what makes working for the Challenger brand so exciting is that everyone has the spirit, the passion, and the hunger to really go above and beyond and challenge the status quo. And that it's really great to be a part of that.
Great. Okay. So you said we're not just a telco, you're also sort of in the content space. That makes me think of BT here in the UK, which is very similar. So it started with telephony, but then there's broadband, and then there's TV, and there's English Premier League football games and all sorts. So it's more like, look after all your communications and entertainment needs, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. And so today we want to talk a little bit about the internal perspective on employer branding, which I think is sometimes overlooked, but it's hugely important. So why is your internal audience just as important as your external audience, especially in employer brand storytelling?
So for me, I really think that an organization can offer the best perks, the best incentives, the best development programs and salaries. They can even offer the best culture in the world, but none of that really matters if you don't have the people and their authentic voices to back it up. So I think as a brand, saying you offer all of these benefits, that you celebrate teamwork and that you champion diversity and inclusion, it doesn't really have the same impact to active and passive talent as it would if you had an employee talking about it. I've really come into that employer branding space, having worked both in internal and external facing comms roles. And I think having that internal perspective is really important. And as you said, Jorgen, it's something that is sometimes overlooked. But I think if you have that strong internal network of people who are advocates of the brand, they can help you tell the brand story to various talent groups. And early on, I've seen the impact of leveraging these relationships. So I think it is really important to just kind of keep in the back of your mind when you're kind of developing your strategies.
And when you mentioned about having employees talking about, for instance, diversity and inclusion, can you give us some examples of what you've done at Optus and what sort of content pieces you would be able to see there on the inside?
It would be through a variety of different content. So there would be blogs where we interview them. Maybe it's an article that they've written. We have a library of quotes from our employees on various topics. So if we feel that we need to, I guess, push a certain area, we can just tap into that library of content from our employees and pull that out to use where and when we need. And then we also have our ambassador program, which is where we empower a group of our employees to tell their authentic story about life at Optus.
Yes, so the talent ambassador program. So before we talk about that, I'm just interested in knowing the channels, because externally it's, you sort of get it, you can activate on social media and the career website and ads and so on. Internally, how do people consume this sort of content? Do you have any Yammer or Slack or any of those sort of tools, or is it the old intranet, or is it internal events you're doing?
Yeah, we have an internal intranet. We also have Yammer, but we find a lot of our employees are really engaged on LinkedIn. So I think while we're targeting talent on LinkedIn, it's also our employees, and I think just, you know, reminding them how great Optus is and showcasing them on this platform externally, they always get really excited when we ask if they'd like to be featured on our LinkedIn page and on our careers blog. So I definitely think we're targeting a lot of our internal people as well as our external audiences. And I think even from an internal mobility perspective, yeah, it's just great to showcase how broad Optus is as an organisation.
When you identify people that you might want to ask to be profiled, what are some of the criteria you look at? Does it need to have like a real story there with a plot twist at the end, or could it be just the regular person?
It's really a variety of different reasons we might speak to them. It might be because they've had a unique experience. It might be because we're trying to target more people like them. They might be a really high performer, or they're just really active in the community and getting involved in a lot of the initiatives and events we put on.
Which segment of your employees are the toughest ones to get to contribute?
Do you know what? I would say that they're all pretty willing. I've never had someone say no.
Okay. But there's also about priority. A lot of people say yes to things and then they just don't get around to it.
I haven't had that experience at Optus. I think everyone's pretty engaged and excited to have the opportunity to talk about what makes their life exciting in this role. So, yeah, I really haven't had that experience. They're pretty quick to jump on it.
Great. Okay. So in my limited experience is usually the higher ups, they will agree to things, but then there will be one crisis or one fight put out after the other, and just can't get time on their diaries. But there we go. Okay, and also in terms of some of the stories you've developed and uncovered and published, what are some of the best ones which have had the best impact?
We did a blog with one of our associate directors in customer service within our wholesale division. And I thought that was a really interesting piece with the leadership perspective. He'd kind of started his career as a cadet and now he's worked his way up to associate director. So I thought that was really interesting to learn about his journey, and that did quite well. And then we also did a blog with one of our people working in our agile squads. She works in the chatbots and AI space. We did a blog about AI with her, and that kind of performed really, really well. She's a female in tech, and yeah, we just saw the analytics for that content do really well.
So returning to your talent ambassador program, tell us how does it work and how to get involved?
So some of your regular listeners might remember hearing about the Optus Talent Ambassador program. So basically, we all know it's a competitive market out there for talent. For us to attract the best people to join our teams, we designed this program to celebrate who we have and who we are as people. So within our talent acquisition team, we designed this program with about 38 passionate employees. And basically their role as ambassadors is to share content on LinkedIn about our culture using the hashtag OptusLife. So we launched the program as a pilot in October 2019, and it's been so successful that we are going to scale the program to include 60 people in April. It's really exciting. But I think one of the really interesting insights we've seen just from the pilot is that we've seen a really organic growth outside of the program. So it's kind of like word of mouth marketing, where people who aren't in the program are kind of seeing this content out there, and it's empowering them to share their life and share their stories, which has been so exciting for us and our team, because we've had employees who have never really been active about sharing their wins or sharing what makes them proud to work at Optus. They're suddenly sharing this kind of content within their own communities, and that's been really powerful and just so exciting to watch that grow organically.
Okay, so people are just jumping on the bandwagon without being actually part of the program.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think they're just kind of looking to this content as from our ambassadors as kind of setting the tone and showing what types of things you can share. And they've just kind of been like, okay, I know how to do this now. So I think it's kind of given them some guidance by seeing real life examples.
Yeah. Great. That's really the objective, I would imagine. And do you get people from outside of the employee population, like customers or partners, maybe friends and family of your employees? Did they ever share anything as well?
Some partners have definitely been sharing content on LinkedIn about if they've come to visit our campus. We've definitely seen a lot of posts like that, or if they've come to do a showcase with us to show how their technology works really well with 5G, for example. So yeah, we have seen some of that content.
So when we share this podcast episode, it will be hashtag OptusLife.
Yes,
for
that's
extra
right.
Exposure. Great. And how do you go about measuring success on your program?
So with our ambassador content, we track their post views and also their engagement rate. But that's a bit of a manual process, so they need to share that with us for us to track it. But everyone's pretty good about it. And then I guess we're also tracking the OptusLife hashtag. So that's kind of grown from zero followers to hundreds, which is very exciting. And then outside of the ambassador program, we have a dashboard that we've created to measure our return on investment in a lot of different areas. So we'll look at the analytics on our LinkedIn content, the analytics on our careers page content on the Optus website, and then things like the number of employee referrals, higher diversity each month, looking at males, females, and what that ratio looks like, flexible work arrangements. So that means like how many people have a agreement with their manager to work flexibly. We've also discovered some really interesting LinkedIn analytics on talent flows and talent attraction and applicant behaviour. So that's been really interesting, and we're feeding some of these insights into our reporting to understand where we can improve in and targeting specific groups as well.
What would be your tips to other professionals listening to this, specifically around the internal perspective on employer brand?
Firstly, I'd say that you don't always need to reinvent the wheel. I think sometimes we get really caught up in we have to do something new and fresh, and actually for the objectives, you might not need to. You can just kind of keep it simple. And I think building up that network of internal advocates is really important, because you can look to that group for the answer to the problem you're trying to solve for. I'd also say that you should spend time on the things you can do to a high quality and invest in the things you can't do to the same quality yourself. So if you're not a natural writer, put some budget behind a freelancer or a small copywriting agency to help you ghostwrite certain content. But then if you don't have the skills or equipment to produce really high quality videos, bring in a videographer to help you, you can still kind of manage how that comes to life. But I think, you know, if you don't have the gear and or you don't really know what you're doing with a camera, I think like that's so important, because video content just helps bring your content to life in a new way that's really engaging. So don't be afraid, I think, to invest in those things that are going to get you a really great outcome, because yeah, it's really important. Lastly, I think I'd say is that in our line of work, because the world of employer branding is both broad and niche, I think that means we have the luxury and the curse that our outputs aren't always extremely time critical. So I'd say prioritize the parts of your brand story that you enjoy telling, because I think if you have a connection to it and you enjoy bringing it to life, it's really going to shine through in the end result, and it's going to be more engaging. And I think if you feel that way, other people are going to feel the same way.
Agreed. And Alana, I must ask you then, you mentioned about writing in videos and so on. What sort of stories do you enjoy telling, and what's your favorite format?
With my comms background, I have to say I enjoy writing, interviewing people and helping bring those stories to life. I think everyone has a unique story and no two people have the same background or the same experience. So it's really interesting just to learn from them how they got to where they are today. And that, yeah, I just love that part of it. And I also really love video, but I'm the first to put my hand up and say, I think we should bring a professional in for this. But I also love kind of overseeing that result and just being there on the day when they're filming and directing it. And then also from an editing point of view, what content we want to have where and that type of thing.
Apart from telling those stories that you enjoy, what is it that makes this job so special for you?
For me, I've really enjoyed how purposeful employer brand is. So I think you have the power to influence someone's decision to work at your organisation, and that could be life-changing for someone. I mean, it might sound a bit cliche, but I really think it's the truth. I think it's really a creative role with a lot of freedom and opportunity for you to make it anything you want it to be. We're a little biased, but within our team, we say that we have the best jobs at Optus, and I really think that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're dealing with people's careers here and their livelihoods. So it's super important decisions that hopefully we can make their interest in the right way. Right. So finally, how can our listeners learn more about the work you're doing, and where can they connect with yourself?
So to learn more about the work we're doing at Optus, follow us on LinkedIn and follow the Optus Life hashtag there. And if you're interested in connecting with me on LinkedIn, you can find me by searching for my name, Alana Green. That's A-L-A-N-N-A-H, Green, like the colour.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much for your time today, Alana.
Thank you, Jorgen.
Okay, folks, there you have it. Now, if you would like to subscribe to this podcast, perhaps in your Optus-powered smartphone, why don't head to Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, all those places. Just hit that subscribe button for your weekly dose of employer branding insights. And also, if you would like to instill some science, some data and evidence into all that hard work you're putting in employer branding, check out the Employer Brand Index, which is our way to measure your organization's reputation as an employer. So we're able to look at what candidates, employees, I should say, the alumni, what they say about your company. And we're able to break that down into 16 different attributes and score them individually, as well as a weighted average, which gives you a score for which you can then build on over time. So it's nothing better than having a baseline score, putting a lot of activity, interventions and campaigns perhaps in there, and then measuring again, and then you'll be able to see what the ROI has been on your employer brand. That's the Employer Brand Index, employerbrandindex.co, or just hit me up if you're interested in learning more. That was it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and look forward to catching up next time. Hey!
I tell dad jokes, but I have no kids. I'm a faux pas.